Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production with your hosts, Bewildering Bob, Mortifying Mark, and Wasteful Wade. This week, the Renaissance men of the airwaves wield their wisdom with regard to the waning of the ardently proclaimed oath. Yes, it's time for Failed Resolutions. Please hide thy own lists and enjoy the show.
Hello, gentle listeners, and welcome to Distractable. Thank you for joining us for what is the last episode of 2021. Our inaugural year of Distractable is being closed off in the only way that it should, with the best judge, me, the winner.
Oh.
The best. The winner of last week's episode. Yes.
I mean, you did win last week's episode, but I don't know if that really means anything.
Who started it? Wait, did I? Did I start hosting?
Who hosted the first one? I think it was you.
I thought I hosted the very first episode.
Maybe you did.
Hair, wasn't it?
We got it first try. Oh, yeah, it was hair. Hair was the first one.
Definitely first try on this podcast.
Yeah, we didn't record a bunch of other stuff first.
Yeah, no.
Sitting out there.
At some point in the future, we are going to try to package up all that stuff in some way because there's some good bits that we had in there.
Dude, the Russian bathhouse story, I was so proud of.
Yeah, it was a good story. People got to hear that shit at some point. But in this episode, we are bringing this year to a close and looking forward to 2022 with big open doe eyes and loins full of yearning.
Grumbly stomachs.
We're gonna something. Yeah, grumbly stomachs.
Loins full of urine?
No.
I heard you. You said yearning.
Okay, yeah, okay. All right. So you're just choosing to be dumb.
Usually.
All right. So this year is coming to a close, which means that a lot of people are gearing up for their New Year's resolutions. The things that we promise ourselves at the beginning of the year that the vast majority of us never actually accomplish. I'm actually going to look up a statistic right now. How many people actually complete New Year's resolutions? Actually, maybe on the subreddit, people can get a poll going of just like, how many of you have actually accomplished your New Year's resolution? According to this statistic, less than 8% of people actually stick to their resolutions each year.
And according to this statistic, 73.6% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
Okay, yes, well, I didn't make this up on the spot, but they might have.
How many people make resolutions? What's the percentage on that?
That's an interesting question.
I don't know. This is of the people that actually... Oh, well, yeah, that's a good thing. Okay, so separate poll on Distractable. Whoever gets it first gets it. How many of you have actually made a New Year's resolution?
Not me.
Have you guys made a New Year's resolution?
Why make something else? I'm going to fail.
I really don't.
You've never made a New Year's resolution, Wade?
Well, I've made them before, but not in a while.
That's the question.
I wasn't listening.
I know you weren't. I know you weren't, man. Bob, what was your most recent New Year's resolution?
Oh, boy. I mean, to get healthy is pretty much the only New Year's resolution I've ever made. And like,
yeah.
I didn't make any last year because I didn't see any hope or joy in the world. I was pretty sure it was all gone. And I don't know if my mind has changed, but I'm trying not to bring the mood down, so I might make some this year.
All right. Okay.
I did find a statistic that says that about 1 in 4 Americans actually make New Year's resolutions.
Okay. All right. 1 in 4 actually make them. Wade, what was your most recent, if you can recall back in your life, what was the most recent one?
It had to have been diet or exercise related.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably the most recent one.
That's probably the most common. But for this discussion today, I actually want to expand it beyond just New Year's resolutions because we're all trying to make it, but it can be a depressing subject. I want to hear about anything that you guys have ever done for self-improvement in terms of like promises that you make to yourself, failing those promises, and like never really living up to what they were meant to be. I will start it off because, Bob, I think you know this more than anything. I have gone through an incredible number of things that I have done to myself to experiment on self-improvement. I kind of habitually do this and habitually fail. But one that actually did work kind of for me was to see if I could kind of like not so much Pavlovian, but train myself in a reward system to exercise, right? It's like looking back on it, it's kind of the stupidest thing I could have done because I would do like 10 push-ups and then I would get to eat a piece of candy. So I must have done this back in like 2010 or something. I was back living in my mom's house, and I remember I would put on the TV an episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway, just to have something to watch. And then I would do 10 push-ups, eat like a sweet tart. And then I would do 5 squats, eat another sweet tart. And then I would do like 10 sit-ups, eat another sweet tart. I went through like 10 boxes of sweet tarts, and my muscles were incredibly sore. But, you know, it turns out I didn't lose any weight. I actually gained quite a bit of weight because I tried this for several weeks.
The idea is that you are training your body to expect a sugary treat when you did exercise. So you were training like the inverse of what you wanted.
Yeah.
What you wanted to do was like, maybe a non-food reward was the answer. But yeah, basically, every time exactly. you did a push-up, your body was like, all right, sweet tarts. Give it to me.
Pretty much. Yeah, and like I've got so many others, but I'll save it for the rest of the episode. But I'm gonna give you guys some time to think about what you've done to try to self-improve, New Year's resolutions, or anything of the like. Conjure up those stories and bring them to the forefront, and I will hear them and I will judge them accordingly. So
I have one that's from around the time we were just getting to know each other, Mark.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting.
So when you and I met, I'm sure people who know our history is YouTube and stuff. You and I met because we were assigned roommates freshman year of college.
Yes, we were.
And when my freshman year of college, I was a music education major and I played tuba. Mm. Basically what that means is I played tuba in a couple ensembles. I had weekly lessons. There was a professor of tuba at the school. I would go every week and we would work on technique and he would give me critiques and things to work on. And I'm learning how to play an instrument. Theoretically, I'm learning how to master my instrument. And the music education part is not pertinent to this. I took classes about how to teach kids. It was pretty fun, but pretty hard. But at some point during my freshman year, I basically realized I was still ass at tuba. At some point after the first quarter, I thought I would just show up at college and start to get better and just do. And like, I was not good. And I was not getting better. And I realized that it had to do with what my ideas were about practicing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to master an instrument, if you want to study an instrument at a conservatory with the goal of becoming a professional, what I did in high school was like, if we got a new piece of music, I would take it home and I would look over the notes maybe, and I would play it a couple times until I sort of knew how it went. And then I'd be like, cool, I know that. I can play that. And like, that was enough for me to get into music school. But in music school, you've got to practice as much as you physically can. Like, there's a limit, mm-hmm. depending on your instrument, to how much you can practice, because when tuba, your face goes out, it's your lips are vibrating, that you can't just do that for hours and hours on end. But like, it's hours a day. It's dedication.
Yeah.
If you want to get better. And I realized this. And as sort of a New Year's resolution, I was like, you know what? I really am going to practice. One of the mistakes I'd been making is you got to practice simply. You practice like long tones to work on having big, round, beautiful tone, work on your breathing and your air. It's all very subtle and nuanced, right? I was like, I'm going to practice. I'm going to dedicate. And I did, man.
Mm-hmm.
I would practice through the night, partially because it's hard to get a practice room during the day because there's like 150 practice rooms for like 3,000 people all trying to practice. But also like I would practice as much as I could all night. I would record myself. I made this resolution and I really dedicated myself to this. And I was like, I think I'm getting better. Like, I'm really working. I feel like I'm getting better. And I did that for a lot of the rest of that school year. I really buckled down and I felt like I was making progress because I was putting a lot of effort into this and time and dedication. And at the end of my freshman year, I had to play a recital, which is basically you select a few pieces, you perform them. Usually it's like a solo type thing where it's like you and a piano or just you. And I had this recital and it was just like, so they could assess, my professor could assess how I was doing. And I didn't get any better.
Oh.
Put in all this time and effort.
Oh.
It was not that I didn't follow through on doing it.
Yeah.
I think I didn't listen enough. Part of the problem is I approached it incorrectly, but I didn't know how else to approach it. After, you know, half a year of this, the end of my freshman year, I do the recital. The whole thing happens in the end of recital and my professor's like, well, you're not kicked out, but I think we need to have a talk. And I was like, no, months of work, practicing into the wee hours, like hours a night until 3 or 4 in the morning, all this time. How is this possible?
Ugh.
And the next day I was scheduled to have a lesson with him. I've told this story, I think, on the podcast before. We were scheduled to have a lesson. And I got to my lesson, you know, that whole time I'm like, oh God, like he gave me the bad news of the recital. I'm so boned. Mm. Like, what am I going to do? I got to the lesson and he was like, can we get some lunch? Like, let's not worry about tuba. Let's hang out. And that is when my professor professor took me to lunch and I ordered a big bowl of soup at a Chinese restaurant and he told me that maybe music wasn't for me. I mean, that is a failure, but that's not maybe the stereotypical New Year's resolution where it's like you do it for 2 weeks and you're like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
I really, really tried.
No, you just failed because you weren't good enough.
I just suck at tuba,
man. Yeah,
man. It sucked.
Well, that's the thing is like you don't necessarily suck at tuba. You sucked compared to masters of tuba.
Sure.
But even so, it's one of the kind of unseen aspects of setting a goal is like just because you set the goal doesn't mean you'll get there even with hard work. It's kind of a reality that a lot of people have to live with. And it's kind of sad, man. Are you okay?
Yeah, well, I mean, so I've led a charmed life and this is not some sympathy thing, but that is one of the few times in my life where I had a monumental failure happen.
Yeah.
After I felt like I really worked and tried.
Uh-huh.
Like if I had screwed around the whole time, and I mean, you were there. It's not like we didn't have fun freshman year.
Yeah, yeah,
played video games. We did all kinds of stuff, but I really did buckle down and try and change my approach to music to become better. And it just didn't work. I just didn't have it. But also like after that, after I made the decision to switch out of music and get another degree, I went on to play tuba for my entire college career, played in this great band, played some great music, like had a great time. There's an album with me on it playing tuba where Bootsy Collins is also on the album for the title track. Like I did lots of fun, great stuff with music. I didn't have to be a master of tuba who could play in a symphony orchestra. I was serviceably good and I had some fun times. So it's not like I'm torn up about it, but that was pretty rough.
Yeah.
After all the hours and hours and hours and feeling like, all right, I'm learning how to become a real musician. And then he was just like, are you sure, man? Are you sure you want to do this? I don't know if you got it in you.
Yeah, man.
Damn, dude.
And what's the name of that band you were in?
The Cincy Brass.
They still got a website.
They still play, man.
Oh!
I left Cincinnati in 2013. They found another guy who plays tuba. They've been gigging. They play at Fretboard Brewery a lot. And they play at Reds games. They played at Oktoberfest this year. They still play, like, within busy season, they play a couple gigs a weekend sometimes. So It's a great band. They do a lot of covers and fun funk stuff and all kinds of stuff. But
yeah,
I should go try to watch them sometimes since I'm still in Cincy.
Yeah, they're fun.
And also, as much as that sucks, I feel like it's nice that you had at least someone that was willing to step in and try to help guide you a little bit rather than just like, oh, that's his problem. He'll either figure it out or he won't. Like, it was nice that they at least stepped in and was like, is this really what you want? Like, because that led you on a different path ultimately, right? And it seems like you were a lot happier playing tuba for fun in that band rather than pushing for the orchestra route. So I guess from my perspective, it seems good. Does it seem good to you?
In hindsight, I really appreciate that. At the time, it felt very defeating. And for like the rest of my college career, I felt like, oh God, I hope I make it out. Like I already failed.
Yeah.
It sort of colored my whole experience the rest of the time with, you know, feeling like I already suck. So whatever, I'll do whatever, I guess. But now like, yeah, he could have just let me keep going. I mean, you have to do a couple recitals basically to graduate with a music degree. If you do poorly enough, they will actually just kick you out. They'll just be like, ugh, terrible, not good enough, get out, you're done.
Yeesh.
Would be way worse.
Yeah.
But like, I respect and I appreciate that he was like, maybe they were going to kick me out. And he was like, let me do this in a much more respectful way so we don't destroy this poor guy who's, you know, been working hard and crushed his whole dream. I appreciate it. Didn't feel good at the time, but yeah, sometimes you need someone who can see what you're struggling with to just sit you down and be like, I can see that you're really struggling. How's it going? How are you feeling about this? You still think there's a right thing for you?
Yeah.
Because I don't think it was. I don't think I would be happy if I had got a music education degree. I think that's a very cool job. And that's what Mandy's parents and a lot of her family does, is they're music teachers. It's a hard job. You got to fucking love it if you want to do that. Because if you don't love what you're doing, kids are hard. Being a teacher, you get underpaid. You aren't appreciated. People are stealing your resources. Being an arts teacher, especially, no one cares because you're not a STEM teacher. It's really rough out there.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of friends who are in that right now, fighting to get funding, fighting to give their kids, you know, fun music experience. But then kids are terrible sometimes.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, I appreciate that he did that, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. That's interesting. It's a failure in a sense, but you still stuck to your goal, and that's admirable because people fail before they even start because they choose to quit, you know, and that's a failure in and of itself. You don't even know because you never even tried. So like, I encourage a lot of people out there just to try first and then see if you failed horribly at the task that you were trying to do.
You might.
You might.
It happens.
You might fall on your face.
You just move on.
Then you get back up.
turns out it's okay.
I guess for me, I don't have a story quite like that, but the closest I can relate is back in end of 2011, my ex, who I was engaged to at the time, and I split up, and I was on a path to go into law school. I thought I was going to become an attorney. I wanted to be like a judge. I wanted to be, my ultimate goal was to be a Supreme Court justice one day, either state level or U.S. Supreme Court. I wanted to be a justice.
Lofty.
Yeah. I set small goals, but I guess I didn't really know I was questioning that, but I was questioning that because I was kind of dragging my feet on actually applying to law school. I'd gone ahead and I'd taken the LSAT. I'd done okay on that. I got a pretty good score. I had my like philosophy degree and stuff all wrapped up in philosophy with a moral and ethics focus. I think philosophy majors statistically did better on the LSAT than like any other major. So I was like, I'm in good shape for this. I'm ready. Took the LSAT, did okay. Then I just never started applying to law schools. The relationship came to a really kind of rough ending. And I remember moving back into my mom's basement, and I'd graduated in 2011. So like end of the year, early 2012, I'm back in my mom's basement with no idea what I wanted for a career. My ex and I had a house. We had two dogs. We had like this life plan. We were 6 months out from a wedding. We had actually a wedding plan. We were 6 months away from the wedding whenever we broke up.
Oh, I didn't know that. God dang.
Mm.
Yep. There was a wedding dress. She'd already picked out her wedding dress and everything. But I found myself back at home with house gone, dogs gone, my fiance gone, no career aspirations. And I was like, this is rock bottom. Because growing up, I was always one of the better students. And I was always like the good kid. Like I had no rules I had to follow. My mom told me nothing I had to do because I was just made the right choices growing up. I didn't go and do drugs. I didn't go like stay all out all night and do bad things or whatever. I always made the right choice. So I was like the great hope of the family. I was supposed to be successful and this and that. And there was so much pressure, unintentionally, I think, but there still was so much pressure for me to like just succeed. And here I was failing at literally everything all at once. And I remember New Year's that year, after college, I'd quit being, like, during college, I was not very active, no basketball or anything like that. So I remember I decided, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to either give up or pick myself up and start somewhere. And right now, my self-image is so low, I've got to do something to improve it. And this is actually the last year I ever really did a New Year's resolution. And I remember I said I was going to start exercising, and I actually followed through with it. I had a CD player at the time.
Fancy.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that there were other options out by then, but I remember I was using a CD player.
In 2012?
Yeah.
Yes, there were MP3 players at that point.
Okay, I'm not a big music guy, in all honesty. I don't listen to a lot of music. I had like a 3-disc CD player with like speakers set up whenever I was growing up, and I had a CD player.
Oh, a shit. 3-disc CD player?
A changer.
Whoa. Yeah.
Thurston Howell over here.
Never used it, dude.
The one that you carry in your...
No.
On this, your hip, I guess. It wouldn't fit in a pocket.
No, this was a system that sat by the TV.
Like a stereo, bro.
Oh, I thought this was like a portable one. You could just like whip it out of your deep jean pocket.
No, my CD player was a real basic, just like, it was a yellow, black, and silver CD player. You pop it open, put a disc in, close. It had like 4 buttons on it. Play, fast forward, rewind, whatever. I remember I had this like custom CD I'd burned of music that I'd probably definitely gotten all legally from one of those download sites back in like the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I just popped in headphones, I dropped that in my pockets, and I just started running. I just went out and started jogging. And the first time I went out there, I didn't make it very far. I was just like, okay, let's just see how far I can go without stopping. Like not sprinting, but just jogging. I remember I made it like a couple streets and I had to like stop and like... Ooh, man, okay. Then I got back home, and the next day I grabbed like a couple of weights, and I remember turning on like ESPN or something, grabbed the weights. I started just like, there was no like specific exercise I was doing. I was just like holding the weights out to my side, like twisting my abs. I started doing sit-ups and push-ups. I was just doing random shit.
Just imagine full head of hair weighed with weights, just like randomly moving them around. Like, oh,
yeah.
I lift it up. Oh, yeah.
This is a part of the thing, because when he said jogging, everybody, what we were talking about before, is like the concept of you jogging. Wait, I can't physically picture that in my mind. I have aphantasia about that possibility.
I mean, I played basketball for 13 years. I was in good shape for a while.
I believe that. I still can't picture you. But now with the weights, like yeah. That clicks, that gels, that image, oh, yeah. I can see you flailing with those.
I remember there's got to be something good. I literally held them out to the side and I just watched whatever. And I sat there twisting like my waist, like as far to the right as I could, as far to the left as I could for like 30 or 40 minutes. I have no idea if it ever did anything, but I did it.
Oh my God. You have shoulders for days.
I did sit-ups, push-ups, all that. But mostly it was the running. I started losing weight and stuff, which was nice. I never got back to, like, abs or anything, but I definitely shred, like, 15 pounds, which I need to do again now.
That's pretty good.
And I don't remember what month it was, but I mean, this is shortly before I was hanging out with our friend Jesse, because everyone else was kind of out of town. And you and I went to that party where we talked about YouTube. That was a few months after. That was like during my weird exercise time, when you launched your YouTube channel and all that. And then like things started to turn around. I wouldn't say it was because of my New Year's resolution, but I think that part of the reason I even like was going out to see groups of people and stuff like that, I was getting more comfortable with my body image, I guess, because I was shedding a little bit of that weight. It started there. It was like I was at rock bottom, had nothing. It's like, okay, well, what can I control? I can control trying to eat a little bit healthier. And that's another weird thing, is I never am a person who cares about what I eat. When I was exercising regularly, I found myself caring more about what I ate, because it's like I didn't want to undo the work I was putting in. So it kind of went hand in hand. Exercise came first for me, and then I started caring about my diet after.
Speaking of Jesse, can you tell about what Jesse said like the day after you got dumped?
Oh god, yeah. My ex is like, yeah, I want to take a break. And I was like, a break? We're getting married. Like, what do you mean? And like, you know, she obviously was not having a very fun time trying to say how she felt. But it was devastating. I had to go to work and I was like crying and sad and miserable. Tyler was working there and he like covered my shift basically for me because I was just useless. And then I went over to Jesse's house and I was like, dude, I'm not doing well. Can we just hang out, whatever, watch something? He's like, yeah, come on over. And he puts on The Office, the show The Office. And there's an episode where I don't remember the character's name. Andy, I think, maybe? Andy Bernard.
Oh, Andy.
Ed Helms plays him. Yeah, so there's an episode where he's like, I don't remember much about it. It's been forever since I've seen it. But he has like an engagement ring. And I think he gets handed the ring back and he's like, well, guess I'll try again or something. And Jesse looks at the TV, looks at me, like makes this face like, oh, and looks at the TV, looks at me, and he goes, too soon? Yeah, I laughed, but he's an asshole.
Yeah, no, he does not wait for that kind of shit.
No, it was like the day of the breakup. It was horrible, but it was hilarious, too. Great story.
Yeah,
that's the only time I think I've ever followed through with the New Year's resolution was after that. I actually did exercise and stuff.
Well, that's cool, though. Like, he actually did it. See, my resolutions or my experiments, as they usually are never so, like, aspirational, besides the one where I was, like, getting into YouTube after my surgery. That's the only one, but I'm not going to talk about that one. I want to tell you guys about the time I tried polyphasic sleeping. Because
What?
You never heard of polyphasic sleeping?
I remember this.
No.
This is a weird period.
Bob, I don't know why I come to you with all my weird things that I do.
I remember.
Polyphasic sleeping is where you break your sleep up into several chunks. Polyphasic, meaning like many phases. So there's like these different theories all the way from just like, oh, you take a nap in the middle of the day, you sleep 6 hours a night, 90-minute nap in the afternoon, you're good. It's like in Spain, they have a siesta. That's pretty much it. I was looking into the more extreme versions where you can try to optimize your sleep schedule. You life hack it. And it goes all the way from like kind of crazy to what's called the Uberman, which is like, I think it's 6 20-minute naps a day, a total of 2 hours of sleep. It's like no one's ever achieved this. And if they say they have, they haven't really. But I was trying this kind of 3-sleep cycle thing where I sleep 3.5 hours at night, a 20-minute nap, and then a 90-minute nap. And let me tell you, I tried this for weeks and I consistently did it for about 4 weeks, I think I really tried it, because they said it takes like 2 weeks to get into it. And I would sleep 3.5 hours at night. I would get up, I would take a 20-minute nap at like 9:30, because then by 10 I would be up. And then at 2 o'clock, I took a 90-minute nap. And by week 3, I was hallucinating. Legitimately.
Didn't you try something like this like somewhat in the last few years?
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this was that.
That was this.
This was recently.
Okay.
I do these things all the time. Like, you guys gotta live. I'm here living my life to the fullest. Anyway, don't do this. You will not live your life to the fullest. Because by week 3, I was hallucinating. Not joking. I stopped being able to tell when I fell asleep and when I woke up during these nap cycles. In the middle of the night, I had more waking nightmares where I would see shadow people and be like paralyzed in my sleep than I ever had.
Oh, God.
I was relatively aware during the day, though. The thing is, like, I did have more time, but my time was incredibly unenjoyable. I felt miserable. Like, most of the time, I would get up from the middle of the night, and my body would, like, it would be awake, because that's kind of the thing. You train yourself to get through one sleep cycle. A sleep cycle is about 3.5 to 4 hours, and you wake up naturally, and that is true. You will do that, and it's something that humans have done in the past. But what they've done in the past is they sleep two of those chunks in the middle of the night. I was trying to hack it so I didn't have to do that. So total sleep I was getting was about 5 hours and 20 minutes a night for 4 weeks. And by the end of it, I set the goal. I was like, if this works, it'll be great. I hated existing. Like, it was just miserable. Sleep was not enjoyable. I didn't dream. And so, like, sleeping just became this kind of thing that I did to get through existing. And so it just didn't work out too well for me. Lots of shadow people.
I like how this was prefaced with, yeah, you guys need to try more stuff like this. Live your life to the fullest. Don't try this. It made my life miserable.
No, don't try this one, but try more things. You do things here and there, you know, weird experiments.
I'm not messing with my sleep, man. I'm sleeping as much as I can each night.
I know you love sleep. You love the sleep.
Oh god, I'm an insomniac, so like there'll be a day where I'm tired. I get up, I'm tired all day, and then like 10 p.m. hits and I'm just wired awake, and then like 3-4 a.m. I'm like laying in bed scrolling through articles, like trying to find something to just be boring and calm that kind of like chill out during. And like it's crazy how long I can stay awake and be fine. And then I'll pass out, then the next day I'm miserable tired all day.
Yeah,
and then I wake up in the middle of the night again just wide awake. I hate it.
Sounds like you need
to. I don't try it though.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like you might need to try polyphasic sleeping, man.
Yeah, dude, you should try polyphasic. It's really fun. Polyphasic sleep is really good for you.
Yeah, dude, you need to try polyphasic sleeping.
My body would let me sleep 10 hours a night if I let it. It does not want me to get up after an hour and a half, go fuck around for 4 hours, and take a 20-minute nap.
Oh, that's the thing, bruh.
You know what I found is when you get up after the longer, like the 3.5 or the hour and a half, if you have a little kombucha, like some warm kombucha.
And some bone broth, maybe?
And just chew on a ginger root. Really gets your body going again. Helps you come out of that.
Wow.
But the shorter one, what you want to do is a kombucha, apple cider vinegar, half and half shot right before the short nap. It really keeps you buzzed through the nap. And you wake up invigorated on the other side of it.
No, you're not joking. There's actually a thing that I tried, which is called the coffee nap, where you drink a cup of coffee and you take a 20-minute nap. And then by the time you'll wake up naturally from the caffeine hitting your system and feel so refreshed.
It's a natural process.
I just made a bad joke, and that's a real thing.
That's a real thing. That's part of it.
That sounds terrible.
It is terrible. You wake up, your heart's racing, you go, the caffeine.
Dude, caffeine sleep is fucking weird. Yeah. So I like energy drinks. I don't enjoy coffee or tea. I don't enjoy the flavor, but I like caffeine and I get it through energy drinks mostly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I have been in the place where it's like, I need to be awake, but I'm so tired because it's been a long day. I didn't sleep well, whatever. And it's like the evening and I'm chugging energy drinks. It's like a charity stream or something where I need to be awake and have energy. Yeah. And then the moment it ends, it's like, okay, that's done. I finished the thing. I can sleep now. But I just had like 2 energy drinks in the last 4 hours. So I'm absolutely wired out of my mind.
Yeah.
And that like vibrational caffeine sleep just terrible. You like, because it's like, I'm so tired. I lay down and my body's like, oh God, yes, sleep. Let's do it. And then I sleep for like 10 minutes and I wake up and it's that feeling. Like you wake up and you're like, God, what's happening? Why am I on drugs?
I just had a memory crop up. Bob, do you remember the time freshman year of college? I feel like there's infinite stories because they keep coming up, where I chugged 6 Blue Monster energy drinks and 2 5-hour energies.
Yeah. Weren't you trying to pull an all-nighter or something for some hard class or something or something?
I was trying to pull an all-nighter for something. I didn't make it. That's the weird thing. It's like I fell asleep, but I fell asleep and then I woke up at 2 a.m. with my intestines on fire.
Ooh.
I thought literally like I was about to shit out my lungs, and I rush to the bathroom and I just sit on the toilet and nothing's happening, but I feel like I'm dying. And now in retrospect, I think I might have been having a heart attack or something of the like. I legitimately thought I was dying and I was gonna just die on that toilet in there. They were gonna find me.
That'll happen, man. That'll happen.
Yeah, no, don't.
What could possibly go wrong with putting that many nutrients into your body at once?
Yes, nutrients. That's what's an energy drink.
They're nutritious to somebody out there.
Let me read this can that I'm drinking from right now. Oh no, it's too dark in my office. I can't read it. Hey, the first ingredient's water. That's pretty good.
I remember reading the ingredients of the 5-hour energies, and I remember it's like 1400% of your daily recommended amount of something. I don't even remember
the
what
vitamin
at this point.
B. Oh yeah, I had the B vitamins.
See, it's a nutrient.
Yeah, oh yeah. I don't think it's called medicinally a nutrient at that point. How much caffeine is in a caffeine, 5-hour energy. Okay, so there's 100 milligrams of caffeine per 5-hour energy. I had two of those, that's 200. There's 140 in each Blue Monster times six, that's 840. I had 1,040 milligrams of caffeine.
Oh no, man.
Do not do that, anybody. Don't do that. And so much B vitamin. So many B vitamins. Like, my piss must have been radioactively yellow. Like, it glowed in the dark, probably.
I don't think we'll ever get 5-hour to sponsor us.
Dude, I can't believe you survived freshman year of college.
I don't know either.
Do you remember? I don't remember how many it was. Do you remember when you shredded your own mouth to actual, like, visceral blood with Sweet Tarts that one time?
We did that as a stupid video, you a-hole. You'd already done it?
No. That was with, like, Warheads and really sour stuff. Yeah. Sweet Tarts are not that sour.
Yeah.
But you must have eaten, like, six movie theater boxes of those bitches.
I did, yes. I had an addiction to Sweet Tarts because that is what I used for the exercise thing that I did as well. But I've discovered that chalky candy is terrible for me, not just because I've shredded my mouth, and I've done that multiple times throughout my life. A lot. I've gotten to the point where I finally kicked sour candies as recently as like a year and a half ago because they're bad for my teeth and my I was starting to get like enamel damage from the amount of sour that I was doing.
Oh God.
I've not been able to enjoy sour candy since the sour challenge. I really have not.
I don't blame you for that. That video is on YouTube for anyone that wants to see it.
I'm still so sorry that I just felt suddenly ill when we were about to start filming that, guys. Yeah, I just really felt sick.
I wanted to pull that same stunt, but then you did it, so I felt obligated to stick around.
That sudden illness that came about.
And then it went away right during the filming. I was like, oh yeah, I can hold a camera and do some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah, I saw you doubled over what looked like laughing, but I'm sure it was dry heaving, you know, from your illness at our misery.
Yeah, I know. Super sick.
Fun fact, dear listeners, storing sour stuff in your cheeks to keep your tongue from getting burned will in fact not protect your cheeks.
So gross.
It just melts your cheeks. Oh, what about that?
It just melts the skin off the inside of your mouth.
The next day, I thought I had a wrapper in my mouth, and it was just the lining of my cheeks falling off.
Oh man, I don't know why. I was such a fucking idiot in college because when I first got to the dorm, I don't know if you ever like were there when I was doing it, but I was exercising in the dorm room, not the incredibly high quality gym that University of Cincinnati had. I just decided.
Our stanky, stuffy dorm room.
Yeah. And so I was making fun of you moving the weights, but I was doing something similarly dumb. I only did one thing, and that was like crouch down as low as I can, jump up and try to touch the ceiling. And that was my exercise. And I did it for an hour. And like I did that for several days in a row because like I'm gonna get in best shape. This is how it's done. It's the most efficient way. I'm using all of the muscles in my body.
I mean, that's not a bad exercise.
It's not a bad one, no.
Not great for your knees.
It's basically just plyometric, like jumping. But
it's like what I always do whenever I pursue something is I take one good idea and I only have that and I just run with it for the rest of forever. You know what I mean?
That's basically how I got to being able to dunk a basketball. Was I would jump up, like hit the backboard with my hand, and I would just do that over and over and over again, trying to like be able to jump higher and higher and higher.
Yeah, if you want to jump higher, you gotta jump, I guess.
I was just gonna say, it makes me feel like an a-hole. I don't know why I didn't say asshole. Not a thing on this podcast, but I don't think New Year is like a holiday that we should celebrate.
Oh,
hot take.
I don't.
Spicy.
I think New Year's Rockin' Eve, the thing that's on TV and all of the spinoffs of that, every TV channel's New Year's celebration has become, it starts at like 10 in the morning on New Year's Eve. This is Ryan Seacrest, and no one is here yet, but I'm on the streets of New York, and then we're going to have a concert from the Bare Naked Ladies, and then coming up in 10 minutes.
I've got one of their cassette tapes with a bunch of their old songs on. I grew up listening to them with my dad.
But who enjoys that? Who?
Bare Naked Ladies? Me.
I'm not saying celebrating the turning of the new year with your family and friends isn't worthwhile, I guess. I think everyone trying to make it into a big holiday thing is just stupid and exhausting. It's always boring. I don't want to watch Kathy Lee Gifford talk shit about other celebrities. I don't want to watch a ninja try and get a crowd of people who are way too old to know what the hell he's doing to try and do the stupid floss dance. Like none of that is interesting. It's always just like, if we want to watch the ball drop for 2 seconds, put the thing on the TV and I guess we'll just watch that. And it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's just boring crap. It's terrible. I hate it.
But you hate that particular celebration, right?
I hate like the American version of like how we celebrate as a country with... I know neither of you have, but who would want to go to like Times Square or downtown in whatever city you live in?
Never.
And wedge in for 6 straight hours? For what? You can't see anything. You're on the street in the middle of a city. If you're in a position where you can see the ball, it's probably even more miserable because everyone's shoving and what? It just seems terrible. Just get together with your family and friends and have some champagne and eat some, you know, appetizers or something and go to bed at 10 o'clock, tell each other Happy New Year, and wake up on the first like a normal person. I just think it's a garbage holiday and everyone always is always like, you gotta go out. You gotta do a party. No, you don't. No, I think it's bad. I think it's dumb.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
My first New Year's with Molly, we were trying different like mixers and making like different alcoholic drinks, and we found one with Hawaiian Punch, and I forget what we put with the Hawaiian Punch, but it tasted really good, and she downed like 3 or 4 glasses of it. And by the time we got to the ball dropping, I swear to God, it was like a minute before the ball was supposed to drop. She ran to the bathroom and I went and followed, and I was holding her hair as she vomited during the countdown.
God, is she gonna be mad you're telling this story?
She's gonna hate that I'm telling it, probably.
Somebody's in trouble.
But she was just like, 5, 4, 3. It was so gross. It was just Hawaiian Punch coming out. It was so nasty.
Oh, she's gonna be so pissed at you.
And then like she felt so bad, she went down and like went to sleep later. And my friend Jared came into town. He like knocked on the door and I had to go answer. I was like, hey, you have to leave. I can't say hi to you. Molly's sick downstairs.
Oh wow, that's so sad. You know, for some reason that brought up a memory of like not naming names, my high school girlfriend, you know, Wade, you knew her.
Yeah,
it was New Year's one night, and it was like I guess it must have been New Year's of 2007, I guess, and the ball's dropping, and you know, in my experience, like, or what I assumed was that, you know, oh, when the ball drops, you know, you kiss. And I remember like, okay, all right, this is gonna be great. Like, this was my first relationship, so don't judge me too hard on this, but like that was the idea behind it. And I remember 5, 4, 3, and I look around and all the other couples are getting ready to kiss their significant other. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And I turn and look, and she's like running off with the phone on her ear because she's trying to call her friend like for New Year's, and she just like takes off that way, and it's like 2, 1, and then the ball jumps, and I'm just like, oh no. I don't know why that reminded me of that, but just...
That's so sad. You know, so not sad. Say many names. It could have been any Molly that I was talking about, too.
Sure, yeah. Sure. No, this is not related to those, but this brought up a memory for me.
Mm-hmm.
Amandy's birthday is Christmas Eve. Her birthday is on the 24th. We usually celebrate it on Christmas Eve, but one year early on when we were together, I was like, we should celebrate your birthday on New Year's Eve. I think it was her 21st. It was like the first year we could legally drink at a bar or whatever.
Yeah.
We had a place where actually the Cincy Brass played a lot. It was like a nice bar in Cincinnati, Arnold's. Mm-hmm. It's like one of the oldest bars in Cincinnati. Super cool place. And I called and I was like, I want to make a reservation. I called way early and I was like, I want to make a reservation with you guys for New Year's Eve, right? We want to have dinner and drinks and do New Year's at your bar. And they were like, cool, New Year's Eve for dinner, cool. And they put it down and I was like, yes, I can't believe you had tables available. And they're like, yep, thanks, bye. And I didn't think about it again. And I was like, cool, we're doing New Year's Eve at this awesome bar where they have this party. And like, maybe this will be fun. I usually don't enjoy New Year's, but it was just going to be a group of friends celebrating Mandy's birthday. Super fun. And we get there there. Our reservation was pretty late. It's for like 9 o'clock or something like that. Like pretty late dinner. We get there and we're like, sweet, we're here. Let's party it up. And as we're sitting down, the person who was seating us was like, just so you know, you have to be out here by like 11 o'clock. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, you don't have a New Year's reservation. You just have like a dinner reservation. So you guys got to be out of this table by 11 so that the next reservation come in. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? When I called and said, I want a New Year's reservation to celebrate New Year's at your bar, what did you think I meant? And so we didn't end up celebrating at that bar. It was actually a really fun night. We had fun. Mandy had fun, some fun drinks, her first drinks at a bar sort of deal. And it turned out great. But like restaurants, man, what did they think? And also, who eats dinner at 9 o'clock? That's not a dinner time. That's a New Year's Eve time.
I don't know.
You go somewhere at 9 o'clock to get drunk at that place and hang out for a while.
Hey, 9 o'clock East Coast is only 6 o'clock West Coast. I rationalize that all the time.
All right.
It was East Coast.
Why don't you just move over here, Wade? Why don't you just move here?
I'd have to move to Hawaii for my time schedule to make sense.
Why don't you just not do that anymore?
Yeah. Why don't you just live Hawaiian time where you are?
I do.
You don't follow the sun.
Oh, I do. I very gladly live Hawaiian time.
My logic was backwards on that. I deduct 3 points for myself. I apologize.
You're the host.
I did it anyway. I get to say.
Oh.
Anyway,
yeah,
I've got some gripes about New Year's.
Yeah, I can tell.
Suffice it to say.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really for everybody. I think that a lot of people look too forward to the next year and not reflect on what they did wrong in the previous year. I know that resolutions are like, okay, I'm going to break this bad habit, but they don't break it down to like, okay, but all the things that I did wrong and all the whys why I did it. And like, if you don't fix those, you're never going to fix it when coming up. Like, it's only so much that willpower can keep you through and going forward and something. You got to like identify like why, the root cause of it, or have a really strong goal in mind to be able to push through that. So it's not really for everybody.
I think people look at the new year and they're just like, oh, okay, it's a new beginning. We can just put this year behind us. We move on, fresh start. Whereas realistically, it's just the earth moving around. And yesterday, even though it was last year, was still just yesterday. Nothing is technically just different on its own. You have to make change happen. It doesn't just happen on its own.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's very wise. Wow. Did that come from your degree? You learned that in college?
Yeah, in philosophy, we studied New Year's resolutions a lot.
That's really impressive. I'll give you a point for that.
The morals and ethics of New Year's resolutions.
Unless you're lying.
But Plato and Aristotle had a lot to say about them.
Who is your professor for talking down to others about simple concepts?
Oh, Dr. Fuck Your Face, I think was his name.
Oh, I had Regents.
Yeah.
He was cool.
FUKURFAICE.
Ah. Well, this has been an enlightening discussion, but I feel like there's still untapped potential. I feel like I'm the only one turning up the stupid things that they've done in terms of goal setting. And I feel like you guys have some dumb ones, some like maybe vain ones, maybe slightly embarrassing goals or stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's gotta be. I can't be the only one.
I do have a New Year's resolution this year that I've thought of during this episode that I'm going to try to follow.
Okay, all right.
So rewinding earlier in 2021 or late 2020, I can't remember. I was biting into an Airhead and I chipped my front tooth. I went to the dentist, had it fixed. Whenever the car got hit in March, I must have bit down funny and I re-chipped the same tooth, had to get it fixed. About a month ago, I had a hangnail and I was like, man, I've not bit my nails in a while, but I miss it. I could just get this hangnail, this one hangnail. What could possibly go wrong? I bite the hangnail and I re-chip my fucking tooth.
Oh, no.
So to prevent myself from having to pay a fourth time to fix this stupid thing, I am not biting my nails next year, no matter what.
Wow.
I thought you were just going to say you're not biting anything ever.
No, I'm not biting anything ever again.
Applesauce and thicket for me.
I'm going Dexter's Laboratory style. I'm getting an IV of applesauce put directly into my veins.
Cool.
I'm only drinking through straws. Nothing's touching my teeth. In fact, I'm just going to remove them all. But no, I'm going to seriously try to stop biting my nails.
Can't chip them if they're safely in a cabinet.
Yeah.
Growing up, my grandma had this like nasty, clear like nail polish stuff because I've always been a nail biter. And she would like paint my nails with this stuff and you go to bite your nails and it tasted really, really awful.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't necessarily stop me, but I regretted it every time I bit. So maybe I need to try something like that again.
Just Wade sitting in class in like middle school and like, man, it's so gross. Oh, I hate this.
Yep. Maybe I'll get like a little shot collar and have Molly buzz me every time she sees me biting my nails or something. I don't know.
Ooh, that would be fun. Can we get a shot collar that people can control over the internet and then you stream and then they shock you while you're streaming?
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd be great.
Absolutely you can. And I know you can. Don't ask me how I know you can, but you can.
All right. Well, I know what I'm getting waived for Christmas.
I know Mark needs to clear his fucking internet search history.
Nah. When I die, that's going to get released to the public in a book.
Pornhub.com shock collar over internet videos. That's the one.
Okay. There's another embarrassing thing that I, and Bob, do you have another embarrassing one?
I'm trying to think of like, I don't have embarrassing resolutions.
Uh-huh.
I have embarrassing things that I've decided I really needed to do.
I love that. Let's go with that.
So it's not a New Year's resolution, but at some point in my college career, I drank a lot. Drinking was how we socialized, and I never drank underage. I would never do that. But once I was 21, anything goes. Having fun. Pretty much always just stayed inside with friends and like played beer pong or card games or something. But one night I just decided, I was sitting there. We had a brand new, I had gotten a brand new fresh handle of cheap vodka. And I was just like, I bet I could drink this whole thing.
Oh no.
And everyone was like, you absolutely cannot, you psychopath. A handle of vodka is a liter and a half of vodka. You cannot drink that. You would die.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they said that out loud to me. And I was like, all right, I'll do it.
All right, you talk me into it. I'll do it.
Yeah. And I wasn't even a big, I'm more of a whiskey drinker. I enjoy whiskey probably the most. But vodka's real easy to do shots of. And I just started in. No mixers. You got to save that stomach volume so you can hold a liter and a half of liquid in your system. No water either. That's for idiots.
Yeah, you don't want anything watering it down. No way.
And I was about, I don't know, halfway into it and having a hell of a night. And it was honestly not that wild of a night. At some point, I stopped trying to get up off the couch. So I was just on the couch. And I set the bottle down on the table. And someone walked up and poured a shot out of it while I wasn't looking. And I looked back as they were doing the shot. And I was like, no! That was mine. What are you doing? And it was just like, you're not going to, I'm just helping you. You're not going to drink this whole thing. And God damn it, if that a-hole hadn't taken that one shot out of that handle of vodka, I would have drunk the whole damn thing. Because it took a long time. Like, I started around maybe dinner time, and I think I drank until, two or three in the morning or something.
Oh,
I drank the whole night.
Well, at that point, you just got to start over, right?
You just keep going.
With the new
hand. Yeah, like, I don't know if it counts as all at once if it took that long, because it was like, anyway, I could have drank the last shot, so that counts.
All right.
I count that mentally. But why in the hell would I have decided that I needed to do that? Like, ever. I don't remember a lot of it. It was fun, I think, probably. And I had a hangover the next day, because sure. But like, why would I do that?
I don't know about you, but I know whenever I was like younger, teens and early 20s and stuff, I still had that like feeling of invincibility. Like I really hadn't been through enough where I was like, yeah, okay, I can permanently injure myself or die or whatever. Like that's never going to happen to me. Like, sure, I still know it happens, but it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
I could drink this whole bottle. I know it could kill somebody, but I could handle it.
Yeah.
There was like that mentality.
It's the feeling of invincibility of being younger.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess.
There was a definite point where I used to tell that story when I was still in college. We would be drinking and someone would be like, bro, you good? And I'd be like, man, I have drank a whole handle of vodka. And everyone would be like, whoa, no, you did not. And I'd tell the story. There was a moment where that came up and I said out loud somewhere, I was like, yeah, I once drank a whole handle of vodka. And everyone was like, wow. Are you okay? And I was like, no, it's a long time ago. I was a kid. I wouldn't do that now. Suddenly, the story is really embarrassing. What happened? Well, yeah. It was definitely a turning point. I think it had to do with how old I was. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not a funny. Good story anymore. I used to be so proud of that in college. That's cool. That's cool, man.
All right. I have one last little embarrassing anecdote that I've never told any of you guys.
Oh, shit.
I don't think I've ever spoken this out loud. But there was a time in my life when I had a theory that even though everyone was making fun of it, that the shake weight was actually effective. And so for like 2 months, I had a daily shake weight exercise regimen.
I love it.
Where I would do a minute on, like 30 seconds off, and a minute on, 30 seconds off. I'd do left hand only, right hand only, high, low. I had the whole thing and I did it for 2 months. And let me tell you, that shit did nothing. And I promised myself I would never tell a soul, because at one point in the middle of my exercise, I looked at myself in the mirror with the shake weight, just really cranking it up and down. And I just looked at myself. I'm like, what am I training for here? What's going on? What's going on here? So I am one of the few people that legitimately tried to do exercise on the shake weight.
Damn.
And I tried for way longer than I ever should. But I set a goal, I had a hypothesis, and I tested it. And boy, was I wrong, but I tried it. And therefore, I'm brave and I'm strong.
Oh, you're so brave and strong.
Did you keep it in your shame weight under your bed, hidden away location? You didn't like have it sitting out on a rack, I assume. You had like... You'd go dig around somewhere secret to get your shake weight out or when no one's looking.
Hey, well, you know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Well, you know, it's okay. It's all right. You know, it's whatever.
I always like to imagine that shake weights caught on.
Mm-hmm.
And like you go to like one of those gyms where there's just a bunch of huge dudes just ripping huge weights on everything.
Yeah.
There's like different size of shake weights. And some just absolutely out of his mind muscular guy walks up to like the heaviest shake weights that looks like... like 250 pound shake weights, and picks him up and gets him up over his head, and it's just like, oh, yeah, yeah. And guys are behind him like, get it, bro, five more, come on. And it like it's like a thing, like super serious.
The entire gym is shaking from the vibrations of the oscillations of it.
They have a special isolating platform where you do the heavy shake weights so you don't fuck with everything else that's going on in the gym.
At a certain point, all the shake weights in the gym converge to like a constructive oscillation and the whole thing crumbles.
There's one dude who's obsessed with finding the resonant frequency that all the shake weights share. He just goes up there and is like messing around. And at some point, everything just starts going crazy. Shake weights start falling off the racks. Mirrors come crashing.
Yeah.
Protein powder spilled everywhere.
Oh, good stuff.
Look. I didn't do it, so I'm not in the exact same boat as you, but I did have that thought.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's not that it wasn't funny. Every time I see someone using a shake weight, it's funny. But every time I saw it, also the second thought I have is like, I bet that's pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, that's a weird motion and you could hold it in different places to work different muscles and you just go back and forth. And like, I bet that works.
That was my theory.
I never understood why dudes use the shake weight. You can literally just masturbate a lot and you're doing the same thing. Just use your dick.
But you can't masturbate at all angles.
You're right.
You can't?
Your arm is permanently set in its relationship to where you masturbate on your body.
Just bend your dick.
Find another dick. Get someone else's dick in there. You get any angle.
Yeah, there you go.
Hoist them up.
Any old dick you want.
You and a friend can like help each other out.
What do you think gym bros are for?
Gym boning.
And with that last pun, we're going to bring this episode to a close.
Oh, that was a winner.
Thank you, everybody.
That was a winning pun.
That was a winner. All right, let's see if it was enough to get you the win. All right.
It added at least points.
We had an interesting discussion. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Remember, your New Year's resolutions are either meaningless or incredibly meaningful. I don't know. We didn't decide anything here. I'm going to tabulate the points, and I will tell you this is the closest game we've actually ever had.
Wow.
Legitimately. I have a system. Bob and Wei, you both started out with... let me tabulate Bob's first. 5 points for the main story, 3 for the additional conversation, 2 for an anecdote, 3 points for that spicy take on New Year's being bullshit. Mm. Like, I like the chutzpah. And then it was various anecdotes, 1 more story. And then it was anecdote, story, anecdote. And then Wade, you had 5 points for story, 3 for a follow-up discussion, 5 points for Molly's wrath when she finally listens to this episode. As I know that was going to roast you alive. 3 points for a story, 2 points for a follow-up. It is 19 for Bob, 18 for Wade.
Yes!
I win!
Nope. You were very close.
18 is less than
19. 18 is less than 19. Yes. It was very close. I was trying to be very systematic with it. And with that last one, Bob, you eked it out with a 2-point gain.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a bonus point just now.
Well, the counting stopped before, so I apologize, Wade. So congrats.
That's too bad.
Do I get it for next time? Can I carry it over?
We'll leave that up to Wade or Bob.
I guess that's up to me, isn't it?
Yeah. So, Bob, any closing thoughts about New Year's and resolutions in general and goal setting?
This has made me rethink my opinion on New Year's resolutions. Maybe I'll set some this year.
That's cool. All right.
And not do them very quickly and then get back to regular life.
Protect your teeth. They're expensive to fix.
Yes, absolutely. All good advice. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. Go to the Distractable subreddit for these follow-up polls so that we can know what you do with your resolutions. We have a store with merch now, store.distractablepodcast.com. Go check that out. And remember to follow and subscribe this podcast wherever you're listening to. You can find us on our various social medias and YouTube channels and live streaming platforms. Wherever they may be, we've mentioned them before. Go listen to other episodes where we actually say them. Thank you. And as always,
no.
I'll see you in the next podcast.
No.
Bye-bye.
No. Podcast out. Oops. God, that's muscle memory.
Good save.